So today we've got a great speaker, Jesus. Before we bring him up, I want to ask you guys, tip your baristas. We're very grateful to have Cross Campus host us here every week. They are graciously giving us that coffee for that $2 donation, so please tip them and thank them. So up, we've got Jesus from Verizon. He drove out here from Simi Valley, so fought that traffic in the morning. We're going to learn, you've probably been hearing a lot about 5G. I know I have. And does anybody even know what 5G is? Oh, that's a good amount. Good amount. So Jesus will teach you that don't know what it is, and why Pasadena needs it. So Pasadena, I guess right now, I didn't know this, is not actually set up for 5G. So I'd like to welcome to the stage, Jesus.
So yes, I do actually have notes. Good morning, everyone. I just recently took a speech class. I don't normally do public speaking. And they told me, don't say good morning, just get into your speech. And I'm like, well, that's just rude. So I'm going to talk about 5G. That's the fifth generation of wireless technology, and it's here. And it's nearly here in Pasadena. Now, 5G is going to be something that will enable innovation like you've never seen before. It will be the type of innovation that will change the world. In fact, our CEO calls it the fourth revolution, the fourth industrial revolution. Like innovations before it, though, 5G has its challenges. And towards the end of this, I will be talking about the challenges. I'm going to start, though, if you can show the agenda. There's a proprietary statement the attorneys put there. Go. So this is what I'm going to talk about first. I'm going to talk about the evolution of wireless technology very briefly. Then I'm going to go in and talk about 5G. I'm going to explain what it is, and I'm going to explain the benefits of 5G, not just to innovators, but generally to society. And then I'm going to tell you what it takes for us to actually deploy and make 5G happen. It doesn't happen automatically. It needs to be done. And then I'll take some questions. So as I'm going through this presentation, I'm going to ask you to please think about how you could use innovation, not only in your businesses, how you can improve profitability, but also how can you use it in your lives. Think about how it can be used for your children and for yourself. So let's go to the next slide, Mario. The evolution of wireless technology. You might recall when the very first cell phones were out in the 1980s, all you could do was actually make a call. But we were all happy to just make a call because we were no longer tethered to the landline that was in our house. After the first generation of technology, about 10 years later, we got the second generation of wireless technology. That second generation allowed you to do text messages and also to have voicemails in addition to voice. Now, the ability to do text messages was pretty cool at that time, right? But it wasn't really enough for us. So we innovated again, and we came up with the third generation of wireless technology. And with the third generation of wireless technology, you finally can actually access the internet without having to be tethered to your desktop in your home. The problem with that 3G was that it was very slow. When you think about it right now, you think about 3G as being akin to dial-up internet service at the desktop. Very, very slow. Nevertheless, it was really cool that you were able to access the internet outside of your house. Well, then comes 4G, the fourth generation long-term evolution of wireless technology. 4G in itself was actually very transformative. The speeds that you got for accessing the internet increased substantially. They went from about 2 megabytes per second download speeds to, on average, 10 megabytes per second to access the internet. Now, 10 megabytes per second might not sound like a lot, but it actually enabled the app economy. The app economy in 2011 was approximately $10 billion. By last year, according to the App Association, that economy increased to $950 billion. Now, I'm going to pause on that number because when I think about that number, I think that number's got to be wrong. I mean, that's just way too much. But even if it was just $95 billion, that's a huge increase in that economy. So what happened with 4G? 4G actually allowed for disruption. Okay. Think about ride-sharing apps and how that particular app has disrupted the taxi cab business. Likewise, 4G allowed you to do many things you weren't able to do before, like streaming high video or posting things to the internet live. You could not do that with 3G. So 4G, great. You got 10 megabytes per second. Right now, in certain places, you can actually get 100 megabytes per second, maybe a little more. You have to be standing under a wireless tower or something like that to get that. In most places, I do a speed test when I get there. There's a speed test called Ookla, O-O-K-L-A. If you do that speed test on your phone, in most places, you're going to find 3-4 megabytes per second, maybe 10, maybe 12. I did it outside and I got 30 and I was like, wow, that's awesome, 30 megabytes per second. Well, let's talk about 5G now. All right, let's go. All right, so with 5G, you're actually gonna get speeds that are a gigabit per second. So that's 1,000 megabytes per second. That's going to be sustained speeds, but you're going to have a throughput peak possibility of 10 gigabits per second. So what does that mean? If you tried to download a two-hour high-definition movie with 3G, it would have taken you 26 hours. With 4G, at 100 megabytes per second, it would take you 6 minutes. You're not going to get 100 megabytes per second everywhere. And every time that I try to download a movie, it certainly took me a lot more than 6 minutes. With 5G, at its theoretical peak of 10 gigabits per second, it will only take 4 seconds to download a two-hour high-definition movie. Now, obviously, we're not going to get to 10 gigabits very quickly. Tomorrow, it's not going to be there. Next year, it might not be there. But at even a gigabit per second, you'll be able to download a two-hour high-definition movie in a couple minutes, which is pretty awesome. I remember how many times I tried to download a movie before getting on an airplane and wasn't able to because it was too darn slow. Who's experienced that? There you go. Well, with 5G, once we're able to deploy it, that is going to change. Now, let's talk about why it is that we now have the possibility of doing 5G. Can you black it out? So the reason we have the possibility of doing 5G now is because in July of 2016, the FCC adopted new rules that finally allowed wireless carriers, providers like Verizon, to get what's called millimeter wave spectrum. Now, spectrum is the radio frequencies in the air that you use to actually have wireless connections. Those radio frequencies are used for all kinds of things, broadcasting, satellite downloads, and also for the wireless cellular services that you have. There's three things about the millimeter wave spectrum that makes 5G super exciting. And I'll say that again, super exciting. Because for us, for Verizon, it really is super exciting. And those three traits, I'm going to talk about those. I'm going to pause on them. But the first one is also the speed. We already talked about the speed. You're going to get a gigabit per second, and also you're going to get 10 gigabits per second eventually. Let's see slide 5. So the second thing that you get with the spectrum, the millimeter wave spectrum and 5G, is the ability to throughput an enormous amount of data through a wireless connection. So if you wanted to do things that are very data intensive, right now you cannot do that with 4G LTE, or, you know, there's still some 3G out there, so maybe I'll stop talking about 3G. But if you tried to do it with 3G, forget about it. With 4G, maybe you get some ability to do it, but with 5G, the amount of data that you can throughput through a connection is enormous. You might have experienced, if you went to the Rose Bowl or to when you were at the Tournament of Roses parade, that during that time, if you tried to access the internet or upload a video or something like that, that you got the buffering circle of death. Right? And you couldn't upload anything, and you get frustrated, and you see the four bars or the five bars there, and you're like, what's going on? I've got the five bars. Well, you have the connection. The connection is there, but what you don't have is the ability to get all of that data through because everyone else is doing it at the same time. So with 5G, that's not going to be an issue because 5G allows you to put in a ton more of data in a wireless connection. The standard is going to be 10 terabytes per second per square kilometer for 5G, a lot more than 4G. You'll have a density of 1 million devices per square mile. 1 million devices per square mile. They could be doing all kinds of stuff, and 5G can handle it. The third trait of 5G that makes it exciting is the responsiveness of the network using millimeter wave spectrum. Next slide, Mario. So the responsiveness of the network is really important. With 4G, the time it takes for you to issue a command or have a user input and for the network to actually respond is 40 to 50 milliseconds. That might not sound like a lot, but for some critical operations that I'm going to talk about in a while, that is actually a lot. With 5G, you're going to have 1/10 that particular response speed, which means it's a lot faster at less than 10 milliseconds. That whole concept of the responsiveness of the network is called latency. So again, you have three things with millimeter wave that make 5G and millimeter wave very exciting. You've got the speed, you got the data throughput, and you got the latency. You put those three things together, and there's all kinds of innovation that you can do with that. Next slide, please. Okay, black it out. All right, so this is where it gets exciting. So the types of things that you're going to be able to do with 5G that you can't do right now. It's going to be things like autonomous vehicles that operate seamlessly using vehicle-to-vehicle connections. With that, you're going to have the ability to do convoys of cars or platoons of vehicles, where the initial vehicle in that particular convoy or that particular platoon will actually be sending commands to all of the vehicles behind it. And that will allow all of those vehicles to avoid hazards, to avoid collisions, and to operate in a way that goes in a particular speed to reduce traffic. The other thing that you're going to be able to do that, you know, there's some of that that's happening right now, but you can't do it seamlessly, is immersive education, for example. So think about being able to have your child, or yourself for that matter, put on a pair of virtual reality goggles that has, in addition to virtual reality, has augmented reality with a little bit of artificial intelligence. And you can have your child, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I'm just waiting for this to happen, where she can actually walk the Great Wall of China from home and learn everything about that or any other place. And you're going to be able to do that in a way that's seamless with all this buffering that occurs right now using 5G. One of the other things that you're going to be able to do, actually, let me back up one more. with regards to these immersive experiences that you're going to have, we're going to also have 3D holograms. Verizon right now in its labs is working on holograms, has been able to do holograms using 5G. There's a story on CBS, look it up, and you'll see that holograms, you know, the thing of, you know, Star Trek and Star Wars is going to happen very soon. The other thing that you'll be able to do with 5G is have the ability to control remotely critical infrastructure, critical devices. So you'll be able to have remote surgery. Now, this is very exciting to me. Just think about the ability for someone in New York to actually do surgery in a rural area somewhere in California. That's going to be possible with 5G. That's because of the latency. Remember the latency. If you're going to have those critical types of operations being done through robotics, through someone remotely, you want to make sure that that latency is imperceptible and hardly there. And that's going to be possible with 5G. So I was thinking about other things that can be done with 5G, and I've read an article where medical professionals will be able to actually do analyses of patients that are in ambulances coming to the hospital. So they'll be able to do a diagnostic before they get to the hospital using 5G. Some of the other things that are important to cities, and probably important to you too, are things like intelligent traffic management and intelligent parking. So we all hate traffic. But with 5G, we're going to be able to embed sensors into the roads and on infrastructure around the roads so that we can actually have an optimal traffic flow. 30% of traffic in metropolitan areas is caused by cars circling looking for parking spots. It's a real statistic. 30% of that traffic. With 5G, we'll be able to embed sensors in the parking spots. And with an app, when you go to find a parking, you don't have to circle. You just have to look at the app, and it'll tell you where there's an empty parking spot, and you can go right to it. So those are the things that you can do with 5G. There's a lot more. I say that, you know, for all these innovators out here, you guys, when you start thinking about what you can do with fast speeds, a lot of data throughput, and low latency, how can you use that in your businesses? The innovators are going to come up with stuff we can't even think about right now. Okay? Now, the issue is, I'm going to change now to the next topic, which is, what does it take to actually get 5G out here? Well, the first challenge is we actually need to deploy it. So to deploy it, you need to actually own the millimeter wave spectrum. Verizon owns a lot of millimeter wave spectrum. We bought a company that had a lot of it, and we have plenty of it. So let's go to the next slide. So yes, so millimeter wave spectrum, you need it. But that millimeter wave spectrum needs to be processed, and that's processed through antennas and radios. So we have to create the equipment, 5G equipment, and we've already done that. And that 5G equipment essentially puts in a box about the size of a pizza box or, you know, a nice big laptop, the antenna and the radio integrated. Those radios and those antennas need to be put on what we call vertical infrastructure in the right of way. So utility poles, street lights, and the like. So we got to get that deployed. That doesn't happen overnight. It's a challenge for Verizon. It's a challenge for all carriers to do that. The third thing is in order to make sure that you still have that right latency and that you have that speed and all that data throughput, all of these antennas that are going to be put out in the right of way need to have a what's called a backhaul, a way to get all of the traffic that's coming into it out to the mobile switching center that then goes to the world. So we do that with fiber. So Verizon has to deploy fiber to each one of these small cells. And because the millimeter wave spectrum has a shorter propagation characteristic than does the spectrum used for 4G, you need a lot more small cells. So this is going to be a challenge for us, but we're willing to take this challenge. And we want to do this, and we want to do it here in Pasadena. Now, what we also need to do is get the right policy framework so that once we get that policy framework, what I mean by that is there's an ordinance. You need to get permits to do all of this stuff. So cities that need to lean in and say, okay, we're going to actually craft our ordinance, change our ordinance so that you can get out there and deploy this faster. We will be able to deploy. What we don't want to do is have this take 2 or 3 years to do. We want to do it quickly. And the only way to do that is to get the right policy framework in place. Now, I know that the city of Pasadena is working on this, and this is not meant as criticism to them, but what it's meant is let's get this done faster. Let's lean in. Let's partner in this. Next slide. So part of the reason why I wanted to talk today was to give you an awareness of the issue. And once you have the awareness of the issue, we want to see if you can help us ensure that we get the right policy framework so we can get 5G to Pasadena sooner. So, next slide, please. So I want to ask everyone today to go to lets5g.com, sign up. You'll get information about 5G there, but also you'll be able to contact your city council members through that particular website to encourage them to create that right policy framework. And given that you're all innovators, our CEO has put out a challenge to anyone that wants to come up with a app or some kind of way to use 5G that will change society, that will make things different and better for everyone. And that challenge will open up later in the spring, and whoever wins will get $1 million reward and will be showcased at Mobile World Congress in October. So this is a very long thing. So what I decided to do is just search for Built on 5G. Built on 5G Challenge Verizon, and you'll find a web page that tells you exactly what that's about. I'm available for questions at this point.
Thank you, Jesus. That's pretty amazing. The most important thing, I mean, the latency and surgeries, I mean, that's very important. But I saw a thing where they blacked out a NASCAR window, and the latency that for the driver and driving was probably way more important than the surgeries, right?
Well, we've done that with basketball players, football players. Yeah.
5G is going to be very exciting. So I'm going to hand the microphone to John. We're going to do Q&A. Let's hold it to questions so we can get some information from Jesus here. John?
Two questions. So what scientific studies do you know of that have talked about the negative health effects or possibly negative health effects of 5G, and what have those studies concluded? And what does 5G mean for government surveillance?
Making sure, I mean, your question about the harmful effects of potential what are called radio frequency energy and emissions is an issue that we care about. The FCC has done studies on these RF energy emissions and has created some limitations as to what wireless carriers, providers like Verizon, pretty much anyone actually, can put out in terms of that radio energy emissions. All of our wireless facilities have to comply with FCC regulations, and those FCC regulations do limit the amount of emissions that can be put in the air. But to your specific question, which is what studies are out there, I know of a couple of studies by the World Health Organization and by the American Cancer Society that have looked at these things and have essentially concluded that 5G emissions will be within those limitations and therefore safe. Now, with regards to surveillance, certainly there will be an ability to have what's called intelligent video in order for governments to essentially have safety-related applications for themselves. 5G will help with that. At the same time, the governments should be very concerned about the privacy of individuals and that they be used only for legitimate purposes.
Actually, I had a question that was so similar to the first question, so I'll modify it just a bit. I really appreciate your presentation, by the way. You did a very good job, very polished. So the fear of public speaking, don't worry about it.
Thank you.
I was curious what Verizon was actually doing with regard to the protections. It sounds like the FCC thinks it's safe. So you mentioned a competition for innovation. Would innovation related to protecting, you know, health with the use of 5G be something that Verizon would be interested in? Are you guys already working on anything in-house for in terms of the health effects?
I will say this, that I don't know the answer to your question specifically, but I know my company, and I know that if you were to come up with something that is better than what we're doing right now, it's something we would definitely welcome.
So I appreciate the marketing side that you've just spun us for a half an hour, and not to rain on your parade, but it's been raining a lot for the last month. But we're looking at foreign countries like South Korea and China that are literally almost a decade ahead of us in America, and Verizon and AT&T and all the other carriers say, hey, we really want things to be better, but they really don't because you're actually here leaning on the city and leaning on us to lean on the city to give you essentially a free ride of way, and then you're going to turn around and bill us in small increments back, which just lines your pockets. And I get how that works, but it really concerns me that you're not innovating as much as you really should be, and you're pitching us on the low end of 5G you're pitching us on the high end of 5G while giving us the low end in reality. And it's going to be 18 months before any of this even begins to roll out in the U.S. Meanwhile, Huawei in China has got the market locked in. So can you talk a little bit about how far behind we are, really, and what we can do to not worry about 5G right now? How can we worry about 6 and 7G 10 years from now?
I'm happy to answer that question because we're actually not behind. We are ahead of China. We're ahead of everyone. Verizon has already deployed 5G in four cities that leaned in. We had a partnership with Sacramento. Sacramento said, we're going to get you your permits a lot faster than we normally do. So normally it would take about a year and a half to get a permit to put up a small cell onto a light pole. Sacramento said, I'm going to give you that permit within 10 days if it doesn't involve excavation. If it involves excavation, then it's going to be 30 days. So they leaned in. We deployed 5G home, which is a flavor of 5G. It's not mobile home, but it essentially allows you to replace your internet connection with your cable company with a 5G connection. So we have customers in parts of Sacramento that are now experiencing that 1 gigabit per second speed that we were talking about. We have deployed 5G in parts of Los Angeles, Houston, Indianapolis, and we're working with other cities to do that. When 5G and millimeter wave first came out, again, July of 2016, nearly all the other providers were saying, well, we're not going to see 5G until 2020. Verizon said, no, we're going to get to it, and we're going to do 5G in 2018, and we did. We've had 5G in Sacramento and parts of L.A. since last year. I think that the other countries that say that they're ahead of us are not ahead of us. We are ahead of them. We have announced publicly that we will have 5G available in 30 cities this year. Now, it takes a lot of work to get that done. It doesn't get done overnight. But we've already done it, and we will continue to. Thank you.
Great presentation. Definitely got me thinking about a lot of different topics. So I just have a couple of questions. And I should just mention, I've also heard of the health concerns, although regarding birds that dropped from the sky during a test. So you know, that's something that you'll want to address is people's concerns around health concerns. But one is when there's a difference between 5G and 4G and then out in rural areas where you still have 3G, how is that going to be addressed when you're trying to have, you know, IoT and, you know, addressing cars that are trying to drive through all those spaces, you know, things like that. And then the other is around hacking. And what happens, you know, in terms of what are you addressing to prevent hacking so that when you have cars all driving together through those 3G, 4G, 5G spaces, if they get controlled by somebody else?
So the concerns that you have are you know, important for us to address, right? Let me talk about 4G a little bit more because that's really the standard right now. For some providers, 3G is going away. We're going to keep 3G for a while, but really when you're talking about accessing the internet and these particularly sophisticated connections, you're talking about 4G and you're talking about 5G. We have challenges with 4G because the amount of data that's being used right now through video uploads and you name it, there's been an explosion of data. And because of that explosion of data, we have to actually build up our 4G. Part of creating the right policy framework for 5G also creates the right policy framework for us to add capacity on our 4G. The cybersecurity part is really important too. Verizon is known to be one of the leaders around privacy protection, cybersecurity protections, and we have a concept of security through design. So that concept says is like as you're building your equipment, you're always worrying about the security of that particular piece of equipment. You don't want your facilities to be hacked. You don't want your facilities to be harmed in any way by terrorists or activists or hacktivists, right? So we design security from the bottom up, and we continue to always, always check our equipment to make sure that they are secure.
Okay.
Okay, so you just say something very interesting, security by design, and that's the last mile. But who is your infrastructure vendors and what type of cell device you're using? Because those are the ones that most can be hacked. So that's number one. Second thing is in order to build all the microcells, it's very, very costly. So how do you balance your return? And the last thing is just a tip for you because Pasadena actually want to be a smart city, and Andy Wilson is our city council, which has really done a lot of startup. And I think you need to have the right people try to promote ideas to make this thing work here.
So your first question is, who are equipment manufacturers and are they doing security by design? So we have partnerships with all the different manufacturers out there, Qualcomm, Cisco, everyone else. And part of those partnerships is that they actually follow the security by design policy that we have. Please tell me what your second question was again. I can't hear her.
Can you repeat that, please?
So, you know, I build wireless switches for AT&T, so I know a little bit about this. So really, it's who's building your switches? Who's building your cell devices, your base stations? So who are they?
Yeah.
Are you using Huawei because they are 10 times cheaper than any of the vendors? Just talk about it.
Yeah. So we're not using Huawei. And my man here, Mario, probably can answer this question. Can you tell me what manufacturers we're using for actually our cellular facilities?
Our infrastructure is by Samsung and by Ericsson.
Samsung and Ericsson is our infrastructure. Okay.
My question has to do with spectrum. There was an article in the New York Times just the other day about this idea of there being a wholesale spectrum market. So rather than Verizon owning spectrum or AT&T owning spectrum, that there's some sort of government or government partnership where the spectrum is available to anyone. and they can just lease the spectrum. And the idea is that that would foster competition, get it rolled out much faster. And then my other thing is sort of to your comment back there about innovation and access in this country. You know, Pasadena is a very privileged community. And of course we want 5G. But like, I have a house in a rural part of Monterey County, and I have 0G. Right? And this is California, which is one of the richest country or states in the country and the richest country in the world. Why is it that these communities that are not, you know, privileged as we are, rural communities around the country, it creates a divide between the haves and the have-nots. And I don't see any plan for, I don't know, making it so that 5G is available to everybody, not just Pasadena. So
I'll address your second question first. I think the issue of having access as broadly as possible is extremely important, and we need to get there. With 4G, you say you have 0G in some places. It does exist there, that there's 0G in many places. What we've been challenged with is that where we go to actually put in a macro tower, for example, that would provide you 4G service, we have a situation where you got NIMBYs, right? Not in my backyard. And you might think that that's a challenge that can be overcome, if not easily, eventually. Well, sometimes the NIMBYs are so powerful that you can't get your facilities deployed. So we want to deploy 4G everywhere. In fact, 4G right now is available to 98% of Americans, not from Verizon, but from all the carriers together. Okay, I think our 4G is approximately 92% of all Americans. I know that we want to get to 100%, but to get to that 100%, we need, again, for the policy framework to be there so that we can get the permits to deploy. Now, your first question had to do with wholesale. When 5G was first coming out, and our current president talked about it, his first comments were, let's nationalize 5G. We don't want China to get in front of us. We don't want Russia to get in front of us and these other countries. So his thought was, let's nationalize it. That sent a chill down my back because I think that private investment will get this done properly and quickly. The FCC chairman and the FCC actually also said that they didn't think that was a good idea. The wholesale concept, I think, is partly the same concept of, you know, are we going to nationalize this spectrum and then provide it for lease? It may not work. I don't know enough about it to comment further than that, but I'll tell you that the private investment got us to where we are with 4G, with 3G, and we will get there with 5G.
Question, Bill. Yeah, so great presentation, and
thank you.
Glad that you're taking steps to make sure everyone's going to be able to participate. My question really was about, the technology curve is always changing, right? I know years ago, no one ever thought you'd need a gigabyte hard drive or, you know, that we'd need, you know, gigabit Ethernet, right? So, as you said, with innovation, things change. You get more bandwidth, new things are invented, and ultimately, it won't be enough in the future. So you talked about partnering with cities like Sacramento and some in LA. I'm curious on if Verizon has anything in those agreements or any thing that you could publicly share in terms of, okay, we get to 5G, now what? Now how do we take advantage of these new usage models that are created because we have more bandwidth?
It's an interesting question. So the agreement we have with Sacramento is a public agreement. You can go to their website and see it. I'm pretty sure that we don't have any provisions in that agreement that address that issue in the way that you're asking it. But the way that our technology has progressed and through time is that you have these big macros, right? You put these on monopoles or on pine trees that you see on the side of the freeways. Okay. And due to the concept of Moore's Law, right? That with the computing power will increase significantly, and the size of everything will decrease, proportionally, right? So we went from having those macro cells. We still use them, and we still need them, but then we went to small cells. And small cells are pretty small. We're talking about an antenna along with a couple of radios. That's for 4G. With 5G, it got even smaller. You were able to integrate the radio with the antenna. So now you have a 5G panel that's only about that big. You put that up on a utility pole or a smart a light fixture, and you have your service. My belief is that if you create the right policy framework to encourage the deployment of wireless facilities, done right, that when you get to 6G, 7G, 8G, or other technological advancements, all you're going to see is things getting smaller and smaller. Our previous CEO, Lowell McAdam, had actually said that we're going to see wireless facilities that will be the size of a hockey puck. When we get there, then some of the concerns over the aesthetics and, you know, getting on streetlights or getting on utility poles or bus shelters or anywhere else should be minimized. But we'll be able to have that technological advancement, and we'll be able to innovate in the future.
Hey, two more questions. Hi. I really appreciate the information provided. I thought it was really informative. So a quick question for you. Have you had conversations with your partners up and down the stack? Because basically, akin to what you guys are making is like this massive pipe of data now that can flow in and out of, you know, our cell phones. So this is going to have massive implications up and down the stack from server capacities to phones. Have you had those conversations yet with your partners, like, you know, Amazon, Google, or even your mobile manufacturers about what implications that might have up and down the stack from servers to kind of the end user?
I am sure we have. I'm not privy to all of those conversations, so I can't really answer your question. I can tell you that our current CEO, Hans Vestberg, gave a speech at the Consumer Electronics Show just about a month ago. And there, three partners came up and talked about the partnership that they have with Verizon and what they're going to be able to do with it. One of those partners is Disney. And Disney was talking about how they're going to be able to use 5G for the purposes of virtual reality and augmented reality and those kinds of things. The other partner that came up, we have a partnership with the New York Times. And the New York Times was talking about how are we going to deliver news in a way that is more engaging, more relatable. And they're going to use 5G for that purpose. Another one was a company called Medivic. Now, Medivic has to do with health stuff. And the presenter there said that there are many procedures that we're doing right now that are essentially done on faith. They're done blindly. They only have like a 30% success rate. Okay, when you go into the brain, you start with 5G, you're going to be able to map the brain, and then you're going to be able, using augmented reality and virtual reality, actually place that above the patient to allow the surgeon to precisely go to where the problem is. So the question is, are you partnering with folks? We're partnering with everyone. And my belief is that we're addressing your question, but I don't have that answer for you.
Last one. Hi, thank you for your talk. I really appreciate the information. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the challenge and ask you specifically the information and how do we enter it, what are the requirements, and what are some of the challenges that we, the developers or the innovators, may be asked to be involved in. And also what I'll do is also this, when this YouTube channel this YouTube video goes up, I'll add the link to the challenge in the description box below the video so everybody can access to it. Okay.
Right. So the challenge is essentially anything that will improve society. And that's the easiest way to talk about it. What it will get you is, if you're selected, is the ability to use our 5G labs. Once you're selected, we'll work with you, we'll give you the $1 million, and then we'll work with you to actually develop that idea. I don't have more specifics than that, but the website does.
Thank you, Jesus. Let me get a picture of you with everybody. Thanks. Maybe take a step down here. All right, so next week we have Barbara Bickham. She's going to talk about her journey to becoming a CTO. The C-suite executive is always looked at, and that's an ultimate goal for a lot of people. Barbara made that goal a reality, and she's going to talk about how the steps she took to become a CTO. So I'm really looking forward to her presentation next week. I hope you can all show up. With that, let's have a good weekend.